Turning Down the Lights.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Get ready for strict new energy efficiency targets for things like household appliances and automobiles in Europe. The new rules could have repercussions for the rest of the world. From Berlin, Kyle James reports.
The EU wants to cut its energy bill by $125 billion. So tomorrow, Brussels will announce regulations setting stricter energy efficiency requirements for 14 products, including computers, washing machines, and AC units. Manufacturers will have a 5-year deadline to produce products that consume less energy. If they don't, the goods might be pulled from the market. The regulations could lead to new global standards, since all imports into the EU would have to meet its efficiency requirements. That's according to energy analyst Christian Eggenhofer.
You can be sure there will be enormous tensions between the EU and the US on standards, because we're talking directly about market share, you know, exports, imports, and these kind of matters.
Manufacturers prefer the voluntary system already in place. They say more regulation could put them in a straitjacket. In Berlin, I'm Kyle James for Marketplace.
Turns out the average compensation for Wall Street workers is far from average. According to figures released Tuesday, Wall Streeters pulled down an average of $289,664 last year. That's about 5 times the average for the regular New Yorker. Meanwhile, some people who don't make that much cash in Manhattan are wondering what's going to happen to their apartments. The owners of Rockefeller Center and the Chrysler Building have made what the New York Times is calling the largest American real estate deal ever. $5.4 billion for the residential complex called Stuyvesant Town. Alex Goldmark looks at what it could mean for the families who live there.
Back in 1947, MetLife used city subsidies to build decent housing for returning veterans. And since then, Stuyvesant Town has been a haven of middle-class housing. Professor of real estate at Baruch College, John Goring, says new ownership won't change rents right away because most of the 11,000 units are protected by rent stabilization laws. But tenants are still on edge. The new landlord, Tishman Speer, still hasn't announced its plan for when apartments become market rate units.
They have, in fact, pledged a considerable amount of money, which suggests that they will be looking for ways to increase the returns to justify the price of this.
Goring says it may fall on the city to keep Stuytown a middle-class neighborhood through subsidies and housing vouchers. I'm Alex Goldmark for Marketplace.
Ken Lay's piece of the Enron debacle has been laid to rest. A federal judge has wiped the late Enron founder's criminal record clean. Lay passed away after being convicted on fraud and conspiracy charges related to the energy giant's collapse, but he hadn't been sentenced. The judge ruled his death vacated his convictions. The decision makes one aim of the feds a bit tough, seizing the $43 million they say Lay reaped from the Enron fraud. And on Wall Street, it cooled off a bit on Tuesday. The Dow fell 30 points to 11,950. The Nasdaq took an 18-point dive to 2344, and the S&P dropped 5. This is Marketplace. Around the country this morning, a former Marine Corps air station in Orange County, California, is being turned into housing. But the Los Angeles Times says some winners of an affordable housing lottery there can't afford to buy the homes, which range in price from about $55,000 to $300,000. That's because state law says costs can eat up more than 35% of a buyer's monthly income, so they'll need to cover the rest with the down payment. A dairy farmer in Washington State has won a court award of $1.1 million against his local power company. The Seattle Times says for years, David Baumgartner couldn't figure out why his cows seemed sick and their milk production dropped. Turns out electricity was leaking from a power line into the barn and giving tiny shocks to the cows. This is American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Fellows. Millions of businesses worldwide choose Fellows shredders for their shredding needs. Fellows, the bulldog of shredders. More at Fellows.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by The Economist magazine, which not only tells what's happening each week, but why. The Economist. at newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Lisa Napoli. Almost 5 years after the fall of the Taliban, the reports we see from Afghanistan don't show much change there. But if you listen to the local media, you get a different story. Miranda Kennedy takes a look.
Not long after the Taliban were ousted from Afghanistan, Saad Mohsini, an Australian stockbroker, came back to his native Afghanistan. He and his brothers invested in the country's first radio license. Arman FM filled a cultural void. It quickly created an Afghan top 40 playlist, ranging from American pop to classic Afghan crooners.
Demand drives what we put out. And I think one of the reasons why we're popular is because we satisfy the demands of the public.
Saad and his brothers built on their radio success to create a mini media empire. A year back, they launched Afghanistan's first private TV channel, Tolo. Suddenly, Afghans were seeing only slightly censored J-Lo videos and getting the homegrown equivalent of Oprah, a show called Woman that solves real-life problems. There's still only 5 million TV sets in the country, but 60% of them are tuned to Tolo, so every company worth its salt advertises with them. The newsroom is filled with young, trendily dressed reporters. The average age here is 24, and 30% of them are women. Alian Barroz, a shy 21-year-old, seems an unlikely sports anchor, especially since in Afghanistan, being a female on the air means getting regular death threats from Islamists.
And Taliban regime, men had not seen women for 5 years. So now when they see women on TV, it's a bit new for them.
The women on TV always wear headscarves, but in Afghanistan, even female radio announcers get threats for co-hosting programs with men. But Saad doesn't shy away from controversy.
People have talked a lot about their music programs, but what's more controversial are probably our current affairs programs. On most major issues, we've taken the lead, talking to the Taliban. We were the first ones to talk to them, question the government's wisdom in terms of key appointments.
Tolo has made its mark. Since its launch, three new Afghan channels have cropped up, offering similarly spicy fare. That's making advertisers happy, but not conservatives. In Kabul, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Hey, we've added more podcasts of our shows. Check our website for details on how you can listen to Marketplace when you want. Go to marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day. American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.